Hoity-toity-toy. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Straya. How you going? It is Wednesday, March 17. Happy St. Paddy's Day. That's right, you would have heard what Ramshackalami right at the start of this here program. Love that. Love a bit of Ramshackalami. And why not on Paddy's Day? How many beers are you going to have? I'm going to have about 80. Anyway, I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, sometimes Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, literally. Whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in Larry Armour Studios, hanging out, just waiting to get on the tins while giving you the lowdown on the ins and outs of the NBA season while repping Australia a bit. That's what we do. We don't take things too seriously here, do we? No, we leave that to the nerds. The good thing is, heaps to talk about today. What an awesome day! Some absolute ripper games. Boston, Utah was a pearl, and Knicks Sixers was great. And it turns out, New Orleans even runs on Dame time now. Unbelievable. So we're going to fang through all of that in the NBA Australia game wraps for you. We've also got Yeah Nahs, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's Australian player watch, pretty hefty one today. And it's Wednesday, so we're going to do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, and we were going to do a sweaty hairy bloke of the week, which has now just been interrupted by a Shane Hill shoot your shot award, because of stuff that happened in today's games. But we'll also preview a huge slate of games for tomorrow. It's massive, actually. It's crazy. And we're going to pick and preview for each of those before we close out with a brand new Rowdy's Reco. How's that sound? Ryan Rowdy Brockoff with a bit of a life hack for you. Sounds great, Jimmy. Thanks, mate. Let's get stuck in. NBA Straight Episode 570. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better watch out for the Adam Lefko attack if you're actually Shaq. Yeah, the host of the crappy Tuesday night TNT inside the NBA beat Shaq in a shooting comp. Which is not much of a surprise, because Shaq can't shoot for shit. What was gnarly was seeing Candace absolutely fucking tear it up. That was pretty good. But still, you gotta love it. Inside the NBA, it's, we're inside the NBA. There's seven games going on today. And they talked about literally zero of them and spent fucking 5 minutes going, look at him beat Shaq in a shooting contest. Isn't that funny? No, it's not really that fucking funny. Jesus. Then it's like, look at Candace. This was all edited together. She didn't really go far. Fuck off. Tell us what's going on in the NBA, you fucking morons. Jesus. Leaves it up to me to do that for you. Right, let's start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. That's right, it's the Daily Whip Around. We've got lots of trade chatter going today. Anyway, LeBron James is bought into the, Fenway Sports Group that own the Red Sox. Also, he had a bit of an ownership stake already in Liverpool. That's probably been upped. It's pretty gnarly. It's pretty good. Interesting to see that, considering that LeBron has been pictured wearing, Indians hats, Yankees hats, Dodgers hats. I don't know, man. Good on him. That's pretty funny. I just look forward to the litany of fucking Boston morons out there in NBA media going, I can't believe LeBron now owns the Red Sox. It's fucking great. Speaking of this Boston, the Celtics announced that Tristan Thompson was out today in the COVID protocols. Probably out there clapping some cheeks, getting that Rona. Classic Thompson. Cam Reddish! Initial 4 to 6 week timetable after going non-surgical procedure last week to address a right Achilles soreness. I love these ones with these non-surgical procedures when it comes to Achilles. Are they just hitting it with a stick? He had acupuncture. He's going to be out for a month and a half. What is going on? How do you fix it non-surgical if you're having a procedure? We gave him a massage, man, and he feels pretty good. All right. Trade rumors. There's a shit ton floating around right now. The Pistons are talking about basically everyone on their roster that isn't named Jeremiah Grant or Sadiq Bey or Isaiah Stewart at the moment. That means Delon Wright, Wayne Ellington, Mason Plumlee. Apparently there are whispers that the Nets have interest in Plumlee. Bring him home, you cowards! Woo! Excited about that one. I spent way too much of my life watching Plumlee fucking fumble basketballs out of the goddamn out of the goddamn paint. It's like, he's learned from KG, man. He's really good. Fumble, 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 fumble. But he's been great this year for the Pistons. I mean, sure, get him on the old Nets and bring him home. See how it goes. The Knicks are apparently interested in Miles Turner. No shit. Miles Turner's a good young big. Most teams should be interested in him. Lowry, that's a girl's name. Markkanen, the finisher, was out there crushing it today for Chicago. We'll talk about him later. Might be up for grabs, turns out. If Chicago cop a deal that they like, Thad Young still seems like he's not really on the table. Same with Sato. Ransky, but Otto. I like to get Blotto. Porter is very clearly up for grabs at the moment, too. The Lakers and Nets are apparently believed to be the top suitors for Andre Drummond if he gets a buyout, because they can't really trade for him. 28 mil. I love this. The Cavs are like, hey, we still really want to get a trade going, bro. Hey, guys, really want you to trade for this guy. Everyone's like, we're not fucking trade. Cavs, we're not doing it. There's no cash here. 28 mil. We're not going to send out 28 mil to get Andre Drummond. You're going to buy him out, and then we'll pick him up. That's how it's going to go. The Knicks have also looked at adding Drummond. And apparently on the down low, they're offering like a multi-year deal as a free agent if they do get him in a buyout, which is pretty interesting. So it's like, hey. I love that. Love a bit of back channeling. I love it, love it, love it. Remember, the Knicks are run by former agents and stuff. And Andre's going to be sitting there, come on, Cleveland, buy me out. Buy me out. No. Buy me out. No. Buy me out. No. And so the Knicks will give me a multi-year contract if you buy me out. No. We want to get something for you, Andre. All right, cool. The Spurs are also looking still, obviously, to trade LaMarcus Aldridge. Apparently, if he does get a buyout, though, Miami, Boston, and, here we go, Portland are apparently the top of the list to pick up a bit of a LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that'd be hilarious. He'd hate it in Miami. Everyone in Portland already fucking hates him. And everyone in Boston had talked themselves into like Marcus Aldridge being their savior and him being fucking shit in crucial moments in playoff games would be amazing. Georgie Boy Hill. The Clippers are among teams interested in Georgie Boy Hill. You know, he's been out with his fractured thumb. Hopefully he'll be all right soon. And wow, he'd be really good on the Clippers, wouldn't he? The problem is he's also got a contract for next year. So something might have to go out for the Clippers to get Georgie Hill in. But wow, that'd be a good fit. Can we please trade Luke Kennard? Say all the Clippers fans. But there you go. There's a lot of news today. A lot of trade stuff floating around. We've got 2 weeks to the trade deadline. Well, less than that. It's like a week and a half. So anyway, it's going to be fun. Right, let's do some game wraps though for today's games. There was an absolute belter of a set of games today. So let's smash them, shall we? Game wraps. Right. Game wraps every day are brought to you by WeAre.co. That's right. NBA Australia's choice of community fundraiser and raffle organizers and whatnot. It's awesome. It's an Aussie startup, WeAre.co. It's basically if you're a part of a community sporting group, social club, anything like that, just needs to raise a little bit of cash, use an Aussie one because it takes zero fees. So don't fucking waste your money and give it to like, you know, big corporations like Kickstarter and co. Go to WeAre.co. They're the fucking best. And tee up your next raffle. You can raffle off a meat tray. I think I'm going to do that with the NBA Australia raffle, which we're launching on Friday. And a bunch of other fun stuff. So there you go. Go to WeAre.co. They sponsor today's NBA Australia game wraps. And we have Utah beating the Boston Celtics 117-109. A really fun game. You got to see Boston short one wing scorer. Gordon Hayward. They let walk for nothing, but it's okay because Trader Danny's got a trade exception he won't use. Oh, geez, that was something in my throat. But you also saw how the Jazz really can just put the clamp. Well, wasn't really clamps on like Tatum and Brown, but they can stymie the rest of your team to make them less efficient and really just fucking tighten the screws. It was brutal. Like Gobert was huge in this game. Even without like really crazy eye-popping numbers, he just kind of did everything. There was like a massive run that they had coming out of the first half and then into the third quarter. Utah just sort of went, oh, yeah, look, what we're going to start doing now is beating you. It was crazy. Boston took a lead in that third and Utah just went, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then just fucking ran some awesome shit in the start of the fourth quarter, took a big lead already.
Gobert was blocking Jaylen Brown and getting fucking alley-oops on one other end. And Brad Stevens called a timeout. Oh, but Brad Stevens is amazing after timeouts, man. And then they still kept losing. Boston, they did get it down to back within one with 4 minutes left, but then they just didn't have any answers for Donovan Mitchell down the stretch. Donnie Mitchell hit a couple of huge threes. One to get them back up for, as I mentioned there, with that 4 minutes left. Donnie Mitchell just goes back down, bang, three. Then he put them back up six after he got into three. Marcus Smart had a chance to basically tie it. And it's a huge swing because Donnie Mitchell goes back the other way, hits a massive three. And they hold on the rest of the way, win by eight. Celtics, look, Tatum had 29, Brown had 28, but there just wasn't... There was never a real hint in this game that it's like, oh, we should be afraid of Tatum and Brown. You know? Like, neither of them really threatened just to completely fuck you up. Brown was really good. He shot 12 of 21. He was 2 of 4 from downtown, but they both have three turnovers, and there was no real point where you're like, oh, watch out, they're taking over! Yeah. Kemba, he had, 16 points, but it came on 7 of 16 shooting. Welcome back. 2 of 7 from downtown. He had 5 assists. Danny Tice had 15 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. It was pretty good, but still, didn't, bother Gobert at all. Time Lord had 14 of 9 with 2 blocks off the bench, but the big one was Smart. He shot 2 of 10, 1 of 6 from 3, which you get, because he's still coming back from his injury. He had 5 points. It was a bit brutal. The point is, Smart, if he's good, if he's healthy, he is that sort of answer for Boston to go, right, when he's going, we're fucking almost unstoppable. Same with Kemba. But they just, it's not happening on the reg. It's going to be fucking tough. And I love Celtics fans going, oh, well, Harrison Barnes will fix this. It's like they've just not watched Harrison Barnes play for 4 years. It's like, oh, can we get another guy who floats in and out of games and is like pretty handy when he needs to be, but otherwise like is okay defensively, okay offensively, but doesn't really make you do anything? I don't know. The Jazz, they shot 19 of 43 from downtown. That's pretty bloody good. Donnie Mitchell at 21 and 5, shot 6 of 16, but hit those big threes late. He ends up going 3 of 5 from downtown. Conley had 17 points, 5 assists, 16 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks for Rudy Gobert. This stuff of the way. Rudy. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson also shot 6 of 16, same as Donnie Mitchell, but he did go 5 of 10 from 3. So he ends up with 20 points. Jingles was great in this one too, 14 there. Bojan had 12. Tried to do a couple of little extra things, Bojan. And he hasn't quite looked the same since coming back from his little slight injury. Hopefully he'll run into shape. Utah will look a little bit better. Either way, the Celtics are now 0-8 against the NBA's best teams. Not ideal. You know? In a sport where you need to beat the best teams to win the title, I think being 0-8 against them is not a good sign. 20-19 they are overall. 29-10 are the Utah Jazz. Atlanta, shit pumped Houston 119-107. No centers for Atlanta. Clint Capela and Okongwu were both out. But it doesn't really matter because they're playing the Rockets, who were without Christian Wood, John Wall, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Danny House, David Nwaba, Dante Exum, Rodin Kurix, and Benny McLemore. That's 9 players where you're like, oh, they'd be in our rotation and be starting or coming off the bench and playing minutes, bro. They play with 8 players, the bare minimum. And two of those are two-way players, and one of them's on a 10-day. So good times there for Houston. Tough scenes if you're Steven Silas. Gallo got the Hawks going early. They never really looked back. Look, Houston rallied back in the third. This got it. They got it back to 93-92 in the fourth. They had it tied at 97 with like 9 minutes left. And then the Hawks just pushed ahead, went on a 20-10 run, close it out. Pretty handy. Snell hit some threes, so did Kevin. What up? And the game was over. Victor Oladipo had 34 in this one. One of his best games as a Rocket. 13-20, he shot 4 of 6 from 3. It's against the Hawks, though. Not exactly known for their defense. Career high for Jayshon Tate. Erstwhile former Sydney Kang. 25-6-6. Good game. Kevin Porter Jr., old Punchy Porter, 22-8 for him. He had 8 assists, pretty good. 10-21 shooting. Not much else, though, for the Rockets. The Hawks, Danilo Gallinari, had 29. He went 5-0 from downtown. He was great. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail, at 20-10. Classic John Collins line. Trae Young had 13 points, 14 assists. He shot 3 of 13. Did Trae? Didn't matter. 16 points, 3 made threes for Kevin Huerta. Tony Snell hit 5 threes as well for his 15. It was good to see Nathan Knight come off the bench as well. He had 15 points. He went 6-9 from the floor. Nice. I also love that Nathan Knight sounds like a Nick Cage character. Hey, I'm Nathan Knight. It's all right. It's Con Air too. Houston are now 11-27. They've lost 17 straight. It's a franchise record. Atlanta have won 6 straight under Nate McMillan. Flip side there, 20-20. Good job. OKC got absolutely straight kilt by Chicago, didn't they? Oh, geez.
So he got straight kilt.
They got straight kilt. Bulls, they started Thad Young and Thomas Satoransky jumped OKC in the first quarter. Dropped 41 on them. They're up 13 after one quarter. And then just flat out shit pumped them in the third quarter. That was it. Turns out Poku isn't quite 2006 Dirk Nowitzki yet. Tough game for him. 4 points on 9 shots. Poku! Shai Redick-Gilchrist-Alexander was pretty bloody good, though. 8 turnovers. Not great. They shot 7-20 from downtown. He had 21, 20 points and 5 blocks from Moses Brown. We'll talk about him in a second. No Dort. Kenrick Williams had 14. No chance for the Thunder. The Bulls, Zach Gakes, Adam Levine just put him to the sword. He was awesome. 40 points and 4 rebounds. Shot 15 of 20. Went 7-12 from downtown. 22 for Lowry. That's a girl's name, Markkanen. 17, 9, and 6 for Thad Young. Good win for the Bulls. Kobe and Wendell now on the bench. I don't know. It's translating a couple of little bits and bobs here for Chicago. Good win for them today. OKC, 17-23. Chicago, 18-20. Right in the mix in the East. Miami absolutely killed Cleveland. Oh, geez. Poor Cleveland.
Cleveland!
K-Love out with a sore... I believe it was his calf still. You want to sit him until he's actually healthy? He literally just came back. Only played 2 minutes last game. We went, oh, that's a bit sore. So they sat him again. But Bam was back for Miami. And the Heat rolled through this one. Big lead after one quarter. Kept it the entire time. Bit of a change of form for them. They actually kept a double-digit lead all the way through a fourth quarter. I think it's only the third time they've done it all season. The Cavs, it's the 17th time they've been held below 100 points. That's the most in the NBA. Sexsmann had 21. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland, 2 of 4 from downtown, 4 of 11 from the floor, 11 points. Go the Fro, Jared Allen, 8, 10, and 2. JaVale McGee randomly had 16 and 8. Sure. 14, 9, and 4 for Larry Nance Jr. too. But Jimmy Butler absolutely fucking demolished them. He was awesome. Finishes with 28 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. That's 7 straight games for Jimmy Butts with 27 points at least. Unreal. He shot 11 of 16. It was great. Kelly Olynyk was 17 and 8. Bam in his return had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, crushing it with 2 blocks. Dunkey Rob went 4 of 8 from downtown, 14 for him. And Tyler, there goes my hero. 15 points. 0 of 3 from 3. Come on, Tyler. What are you doing? Goran the Flog Drogic, 9 assists, went 1 of 4 for 2 points though. Goran, mate. Whatever. Cleveland, that's right.
Cleveland!
14-25. Miami, 22-18. 11 wins of their last 12 games. Told ya. Once they got healthy, it'd be all right. Philly beat New York City. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City in Philly. 99-96. Joel Embiid's birthday. Sitting at home. Got a nice present. Yeah, Doc Rivers versus Tibbs, his old assistant. That was great. Wild game, though. Knicks were undermanned on a back-to-back and still should have won this game. But the Sixers stayed close all game. The Knicks couldn't hit a goddamn shot in the fourth quarter. And then it really sort of just started to flip. Matty T had a steal. He had a block. Goes up the other end, hits a three. It was awesome. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz hits a three on the next position. Possession. You say tomato, I say fuck off. Simo had 2 buckets then. Curry had a 3. 5 minutes left. The Sixers had their first lead of the game. Tobias Harris then just went bonkers. Scored 7 straight. Gave him the lead, and they never gave it back up. The Knicks just couldn't hit. Look, this is it. You know, on the back of a back-to-back, you're not that surprised. The Knicks sort of fell apart in that fourth quarter. They shot 5 of 19 in the fourth quarter. Julius Randle couldn't get anything. Yeah, it was pretty rough. 19 points and 19 shots for Julius. He had 15 rebounds and 8 assists. RJ Barrett had 17, 8, and 4. But those 17 points, again, came on 17 shots. So 19 points for Alec Burks off the bench against his old team. No one really could get it going. Reggie Bullock had 12 points, went 3 of 5 from downtown, but also fucked up and had a turnover and a crucial possession in the fourth quarter. Again, did it yesterday with a missed 3. Today, stepped out of bounds on a 3 that probably would have made it very interesting if we'd missed the shot anyway. So, good job, Reggie. For the Sixers, Tobias Harris was immense. The fact that Tobias Harris is now clutch is awesome, but also annoys the shit out of me because all I do is enjoy yelling about DeMar DeRozan and Tobias Harris not being clutch. Same with Spindles Ingram. Talk about that in a second. But Tobias came out massive. Clutch as fuck in the end, so good on him. 30.6 rebounds, shot 11 of 20. The best thing for Tobias, though, we went 4 of 6 from 3. And, you like, Tobias Harris is a pretty good shooter. It's like, yeah, you should be taking a couple more threes per game, Tobias. So off you go. Simo had 16, 13, and 7. He was really good. Seth Curry had 20. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz, 12. Only went 1 of 6 from 3, but did a couple of little good things here. Dwight Howard had 11 and 12. Shake Milton was shit. 1 of 5. Regional manager Mike Scott was 0 of 1. Didn't matter. Good win for the Sixers to hold on and get ahead. New York now 20 and 21. Philly have won 6 straight. They're 28 and 12. Then we'll flip these ones. Mini lost to the Lakers. Sorry, 137-121. Weird and wild game. It was all close and tied up in the first half. Minnesota came out of nowhere. It took like a 5-point lead the third quarter. And then the Lakers went, ah, wait a minute. No, fuck off. And just like went ham and stomped them the rest of the way. End up winning by 16. It was crazy. Like LeBron, Montrez, Kuz, it was just all on. Cat had 29, 6, and 7 in this one. He shot 2 of 8 from 3. I still, like, Cat, Anthony Davis is not playing for the Lakers. You're going up against, neither is, you know, Marc Gasol. You're basically playing against Montrez, Harrell, and not much else, you know? Like, the Lakers are out there starting Markieff Morris, basically, and Damian Jones as their bigs. And if you're Karl Anthony Towns, I tend to feel like you should be going out, kicking ass and taking names a little bit more hardcore than... Look, 29, 6, and 7 is good, obviously. 10 of 19 shooting, pretty good. But that's a lot of threes. 8 threes, and he hit 2 of them? Come on, Cat. Anthony Edwards is a really good game again. Back-to-back really awesome games. 29 points and 22 shots. He was really, really handy. 19 points and 12 assists for Ricky Rubio. Oh, Ricky Tiki Tata. I love that. 13 for Noel off the bench, but they just couldn't keep up the Wolves. They shot 52% and lost. Like, Layman just wasn't doing anything. Vanderbilt didn't do anything. And Okogie is just bad at basketball. Yeah, it's just a bit tough. But anyway, tough scenes for the Wolves. The Lakers, second straight triple-double for LeBron James. 25, 12, and 12. Trez had 25 as well. Marcus, he had 16. THT, he's dynamite. Also 16, 7 and 4. He might be like their fourth best player at this point. THT's awesome. German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder also had 16 points. One from one from downtown. Also had a really good game. Turned it over a couple of times, but it was pretty good otherwise. Minnesota are now 9 and 31. The Lakers, 27 and 13. And then the last game, there wasn't really the last game. It was in Portland. New Orleans now officially runs on Dame time because Portland win 125-124. Jeez, Jimmy, that sounds like a close game. Well, it wasn't for a lot of it. Like, there was a point in the second quarter, the Pelicans ripped off like a 15-2 run. Took control, never gave it up. They're up 17 in the fourth quarter. It's like 5 minutes to go. You're like, all right, this one's over. Zion had been unstoppable. Spindles was doing everything. Lonzo had been really good. Then the clocks apparently just clicked over to Dame time. And Dame just goes, oh, yeah? 16 zip run in the fourth quarter. They get right back in it. It's a one-point game with 2 minutes 25 to go. It was absolutely bonkers. So one-point game, however... Bledsoe hits a 3, big answer. Melo goes back the other way, hits a long 2. Zion answers that back. Dame gets an and 1 to cut it back to a 1-point game. And you're like, here we go, Dame time, let's fucking dance. Zion goes back down, bang, to the hoop, 3-point lead. And the Blazers miss on their next possession. No good. Spindles misses 2 free throws, though, with fuck all time left. And Dame goes back. He goes back. Gets fouled. Skadoosh. Oh, wait. No, what happened? No, Dame hits 2. Yeah, that's right. No, Dame hit 2 free throws. They called a foul on the floor. And it's like, all right, cool. Gets the 2. 1-point game. 4.2 seconds left. Pelicans can't inbound. It bounces off of Nicky Alexander-Walker. Blazers get the ball back. Last shot to win it. Dame gets fouled. Hits both free throws. Boom. 1.2 seconds left or something. Zion can't get a running hook shot to go. Off a really good pass from Lonzo, it must be said. Like, fucking quarterbacks it right down the end. Zion goes up like the world's biggest wide receiver, brings it down, throws up a hook shot. Just goes long because he goes a little bit too hard. Blazers win. Absolutely crazy game. Absolutely crazy. Dame's amazing. The Pelicans, they just keep finding weird and wacky and wonderful ways to blow games. It's absolutely bonkers. 17 points in 5 minutes. What a world. What a world. Anyway, Zion ends up with 28 and 8. Took a bunch of shots in the fourth quarter as well. But no one else did shit. Spindles had 30, but missed those two free throws. He did go 10 to 20 from the floor. Lonzo had 17 assists and 11 points. Pretty bloody good. 3 rebounds, 3 of 7 from downtown. And Nick Alexander Walker, he had 6 of 9. Nice. From 3 for his 20. And Josh Hart had 16 and 9 as well. But Jesus, they just fell apart. Literally, they scored 2 buckets at any point in those other 5 minutes of the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. They probably win the game. Instead, the Blazers, Dame. He has 50. He ends up with 50 at the free throw line, wins the game. CJ McCollum, Enes the Penis Cantor, and Derek Jones Jr. also all had 10. Melo had 9. It was Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr., though, who stepped up big time. Hit a massive 3 off a Dame offensive rebound and pass that kept them right in there because Rodney Spud Hood missed a pretty wide open corner 3. And you're like, thanks for coming, Rodney. Dame, however, is right there in the guts of it. Gets the offensive rebound, kicks it out to Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. Bang, 3. Blazers in it. Ends up with 22 points. He was really good. 6 of 10 from the floor. Great game. What a game. The Blazers hold on. They're up now, what, 23-16? And New Orleans, 17-23. What a absolute disaster for New Orleans. And what a win for the Blazers. It was absolutely awesome. Great shit. Right, let's do an NBA Australia Pro performance of the night after all of that.
That's not a night. That's a night.
Ah, that's a night. Look, this was going to be Tobias Harris there for a moment. Clutch as fuck against the Knicks. Ends up with his 30 piece. He was really, really, really good down the stretch. And it's awesome to see. Look, for all the people I give shit to, like DeMar DeRozan there and Tobias Harris and co for not being clutch, when they do actually start delivering in the clutch, I'm fucking happy. I just want to see fun, good basketball being played. Or at least you coming up short in hilarious fashion, Paul George. so that was great. Tobias Harris was awesome. And the best part was, in the middle of this run, he's like, I'm an all-star, thumping his chest. It's like, well, you weren't voted one, and you didn't get into the all-star team, so I guess you think you're an all-star, but you're not. But good on you, Tobias. Good win. But come on, man. Zion was bullying everybody, and then he was like, oh, I guess we've won this. Decided to go home. It's like, Zion, the game's not over. And obviously, that's not enough. The NBA Australia Approved Performance Online's got to go to Dame. That's right, Dame Lillard drops a 50. He had 20 points in the fourth quarter. 20 in the fourth quarter. He was absolutely incredible. Goes 6 of 9. Nice. From the floors, 3 of 6 from downtown. 5 of 5 from the free throw line with 0 turnovers. He played a better game in the fourth quarter than literally just about anybody. That's incredible. Ends up for the game, 50 points, 10 assists, shoots 13 of 20 from the floor, 6 of 13 from downtown, and in a remarkable showing of accurate free throw shooting, 18 of 18 from the free throw line. Absolutely incredible. Dame wins the game, and there was a weird look, so he like jarred his hand as well during the game. And there was a moment in that fourth quarter where it was basically the 17-point lead just sitting there. Dame sort of like walks it up and sort of just launches like a 30-odd footer or so. And it sort of hits the back of the rim and just drops straight in. And you're like, oh, well, I guess this isn't really over. And then boom, that's what happened. Ah, it was so fucking good. Dame Lillard, I reckon he's probably going to end up the season leader in NBA Australia pre-performances of the night. What do you reckon? It's a pretty easy equation there. Good on you, Dame. That was huge. 50 out of fucking nowhere. Unreal. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
Danny Green. This should almost be the Danny Green, not the Boxer Memorial Spud of the Night reward for past performances and past actions. 1 of 10 today for the Sixers. He goes 1 of 7 from 3. Also had 3 turnovers. Why is he holding the ball at any point where he can turn it over, I ask you? And 2 assists. So, geez, Danny, what are you doing? But come on, we've got a challenger. 1 of 10 is pretty tough for Danny Green, but Frankie Smokes. But Jimmy here only shot 0 of 4, bro. Yeah. So Frankie Smokes, Frankie Nitalikina out there for the New York Knickerbockers of New York City goes 0 of 4. And Jimmy, that's not so bad, man. Well, he went 0 of 5 yesterday. You know, he was on this list yesterday. A couple of days before that, went 0 of 1 against OKC. A couple of days before that, he went 0 of 2 against Milwaukee. Because Frankie Smokes has not hit a shot since the All-Star break. He's 0 of 12 in 4 games. He's 0 of 6 from 3 as well. I don't know. I'm not convinced he's good. I love Frankie Smokes. Crazy little French point guard. I reckon he's awesome. Sucks that he's on this list, but hey, I didn't put him on this list. He put him on this list. Who was old mate? No mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates there? Rudy Gobert's estava da wea. Someone was tweeting out, scrolling through Twitter to see if I can see at least one of Rudy Gobert's many highlight plays from tonight, and I didn't see one. Bleacher Report, you suck. Rudy Gobert retweeted that saying, I didn't get crossed up or dunked on, so you know you won't see me on there. Oh, burn! Rudy, yeah, you've literally got no mates because no one wants to see you dunk or do stuff. They just want to see you get crossed up and dunked on. You're literally owning up to having old mate or being no old mate no mates, and that's fine. But old mate no mates today is actually, look, that was a pretty good one from Rudy. I enjoyed that. But then, in the true spirit of the fashion of the award of old mate no mates, getting on the bus after the game, Spindles Ingram missing those two free throws with 6.9. Nice. Seconds left in the game. He really fucking Nick Anderson this one up because they go on to, like, even then, you're like, well, we're still up three. If he hits one of them, the game's over, basically, right? But Dame gets two going back the other way. Then they can't inbound the ball, turn it back over. Dame gets his shot to get fouled. Was it a foul? Probably not. Whatever. Oh, I hit him on the wrist, I guess, man. Yeah, cool. But still, Spindles Ingram, just you hit one of those free throws and it probably becomes a completely moot fucking point. You hit both of them, it becomes almost impossible for them to win. If not, you're probably going to overtime at the very worst outcome. But instead, he misses both. Spindles.
Oh, but Brandon Ingram's better than Ben Simmons at, like, all the things.
Fuck off. And blow it out your ass, Spindles. You are old mate, no mister. Because that is one of the ones where you get on the bus and everyone's like, ah, hi, Brandon. How's your free throws, you dick? Stands punching the back of one of the bus cushions. Fucking motherfucker. Panting of the night, though. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat Moses Brown got finished on by the finisher. Ew. Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, dunked all over Moses Brown for OKC, which was a bit of a shame, because we'll talk about him again in a second. That was a tough scene. Lowry was great for that sort of run. But Jordan Jeremy Clarkson got blocked by the rim in the fourth quarter. That was a tough scene. Then got ripped about it by, I think it was Lefko on the TNT show as well. Pretty not cool from him. But also, Obi Toppin got blocked by the rim as well. Obi, mate, you were in the dunk comp. I'm not sure if you should be out here getting blocked by the rim, you know? So there you go. There's a couple of pantings right there. Moses Brown, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, and Obi Toppin. They both got blocked by the rim, and Moses Brown finished by the finisher. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Now, as I mentioned, Lonzo had a pretty good game. 17 assists, 11 points, shot okay from three. Doing good stuff, you love to see it. But today's better than Lonzo Ball is gonna be Moses Brown. We just mentioned him, he got finished on by the finisher. He also had 20 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 blocks. He was awesome. He shot 9 of 16 from the floor, went 2 of 3 from the stripe, and posted 20, 16, and 5 fucking blocks. That is huge. The dude was in the G League like just the other day. This is unreal. He's awesome. He's just hanging out, crushing it, doing good stuff, being really tall. The man out of UCLA or whatever it was. 7'2". Looks the goods, barely played last year, and then this year is barely played as well. Last couple of games, though, he's out there, fucking going bang. They've given him the minutes, and he's delivering. He had 13-4 in his last game. He had 8-12 against Dallas, was it last week? And now that he's like out there starting, it's like, well, Moses Brown might be, is he good? So a couple of starts, he had 13 and 4 and then dropped 16, was it 20 and 16 today? I love it. Absolutely love it. So there you go. Today, Moses Brown, you are better than Lonzo Ball. Sure, why not? All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. So for NBA Australia's Yeah Nahs, they are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, mate, it's warm. Warm week, so you better get stocked up on all the booze that you need. Beeros, wines, cocktails. Thedailyliquor.com has got them all, so you can check that out. They've got amazing party packs. The wine, the cocktails are amazing. The selection of beers are great. This is like the Dos Blocos Pale Ale, the Dos Blocos XPA, the Red Devils, love them. A sample three-quarter IPA, that is a great beer, I'll tell you that much. Drink it till the cows come home too. The sample lager, oh, so many good ones. I'm getting thirsty just talking about it. It is St. Paddy's Day, I'm going to go get shit for it. Anyway, use the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Once you spend 20 wing whams, you'll get a free six-pack of the Red Devils, the DOS XPA. That's it, a free sixer on your mate Jimmy if you spend $20. That's fucking awesome. The XPA is amazing. I drink probably too much of it. It's just so tasty. And with footy back tomorrow, you'll be laughing because you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of games to watch. Plenty of NBA all the way through the rest of the playoffs, the rest of the second half of the season, into the playoffs and footy. Better stock up. You've got Anzac Day, Easter coming up. Boom. You're laughing. So go to thedailyliquor.com right now. Smash the code straight. Get a sixer on your mate, Jimmy. Right, some yeah nahs, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one is Shaq Wright. Is Jordan Jeremy Clarkson the most important player on the Yaz? Yeah, nah. He is important. I don't think he's the most important. Because I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show, right, about Charlotte. I think it's like this is one of those ultimate expressions of what I was talking about with the Hornets. When you've got, you know, four or five handy dudes who can get buckets when needed. If like two of them are on and then one of the third, you know, maybe the third one pops up and does like a little bit of something, then you're in a really good position. Because I think we've seen plenty of games with the Yaz where if Jordan Jeremy Clarkson isn't quite nailing stuff, and today he shot 6 of 16, like it's not fucking ideal, and Donnie Mitchell sort of stepped up right at the end, but Jordan Jeremy Clarkson does keep them in games when they just need that scoring explosion off the bench. But, I mean, if Bojan, Jingles, Royce O'Neal, Mike Conley, if they're doing anything, and then one of the other two, so three, sort of does anything as well as Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, then the Utah Jazz tend to win. So he's pretty important, but I think he's more just sort of an ideal scorer off the bench where you add him to the mix and they're really fucking good. I think, though, what keeps them in games and wins them games is probably everything that Rudy Gobert does. Like, for all the shit that I give him, which is a lot because it's funny. But I mean, he's out there defending the rim, covering up defensive mistakes on the perimeter with ease, doing all this sort of shitty, dirty work, which look, you know, every fucking basketball nerd loves to go, I really love players like that. You don't. We get it. You don't. Oh, I just love how, like, you just got to do the little things, man. Yeah, do you? Is that what you're really watching for? You know, I'm the same. Like, I think that's awesome, but at the same time, fuck it. I'd rather see Jingles dropping bombs. That's awesome. But Jingles does a lot of the same sort of vibe, right? Like, a lot of the defensive little stuff that you need, the communication. Rudy is amazing at that. I'd still probably go with Rudy being the most important player on that team. Like, you take him off, and I think they're fucked. So, good job, Rudy. I'd still say, yeah, Rudy's probably the most important player on the Yaz. Because they can get away with, like, Donnie Mitchell. Even Donnie Mitchell, how good he was today, closing out down the stretch, getting the win. They do have dudes who can fill it up and step into that spot, but not the Rudy spot. So, anyway, are the Knicks legit, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Look, good win yesterday, but also, well, no, they lost yesterday. They lost to the Nets. So they lost back-to-back games against actual contenders. the Nets and, which is so weird to say, that the Nets are actual contenders, and the Sixers, right? And this is the problem, though. If the Knicks want to actually win some of these games, I don't know, in a one-possession game with, you know, the top two teams in the East, probably don't turn the ball over heaps and miss free throws. They missed 8 free throws today. But look, they've just got too many dudes out as well at the moment. They're one other sort of solid wing away from being actually a bit scary and being actually a bit contendery. But at the moment, without D. Rose, the other Mitch Robinson, even Alfred Payton as well, they're in a bit of a struggle town. But the weird one's Austin Rivers, right? Like, Doc even came out today and said, like, because obviously he played against, he coached against him today, and was asked about it. And he said, yo, I don't tell coaches who to play. And he said he wouldn't comment on his personal situation or whatever. So I think he's away from the team. He and his partner had their second baby. So hopefully everything's all okay and everything and whatnot. Because Austin Rivers, it does feel like when Alec Burks is like feeling it, it's like, well, Austin Rivers is that and a bit too. So you should sort of ideally have those two and D Rose to sort of choose from game in, game out. And at the moment, they've only got one of them. So they're a bit fucky. But also, Austin Rivers hadn't played since like February. So I don't know what's going on there. Bit weird. So the unfortunate thing is the Knicks are fun, but the Knicks aren't quite there right at the top. Once Mitch Robinson gets back and replaces Nerlens Noel in the starting lineup, it's going to be fun. And I think it'll be a fun sort of playoff, you know, sort of run that they get into once they get bounced out in the first round or whatever. But yeah, like you sort of look around the league, you're like, what could actually put the Knicks into a little bit of contention? There's not quite the player out there that you go, ah, well, there you go. Aaron Gordon's not going to help you. Fournier's probably not going to help you. T-Ross probably. Kyle Lowry. Now, there's a fucking name. That might help them. There you go, Knicks. Fuck it all. Go get Kyle Lowry. Next one, last one. Is LeBron racking up triple-doubles as a case builder for his MVP? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. You better believe it. I mentioned this yesterday in Outback Takehouse. LeBron going, oh, I'm going to use this as a bit of a chance to knock some triple-doubles in while AD's out. And just wait for the narrative of MVP to swing back my way. Galaxy brain shit from LeBron. You love to see it. And because this is what's going to happen. If they get on a little bit of a run without AD, because they have jumped out ahead of the curve and gone, look, we're not even going to look at him for another 2 weeks, so he's not going to be back for probably another 3 at least. And it's like, all right, LeBron's like, well, cool, man. If we just, we're 6-6 now without him. If we keep winning some games, I keep dropping in triple-doubles, the MVP's mine. Right, unpopular opinion of the day. Look, you shouldn't be allowed to wear a jersey of a color that's one of the team that you're playing against, primary main colors. Today we had the Pelicans in red against the Blazers.
But Jimmy, the Pelicans have got like the red thing and, oh, that's a big one, and like the Blazers were just wearing their grays.
Yeah. Cool. The Lakers were in blue against the Wolves. What are we doing? How has this happened? Like, the NBA, you keep releasing fucking 87 jerseys each fucking year, most of which are shit, but you've got a million of them to choose from. How is this happening? It's an absolute shit show. Like, we saw the other day, the red versus orange of Atlanta versus OKC. Come on, man. Like, we've got to have pretty fucking straightforward ideals of clash jerseys and, like, just... This is the idea, right? The NBA is sitting there going, oh, geez, why are ratings down, man? I don't know, because they just spent fucking 5 minutes on the TNT show watching the fucking host shoot threes and beat Shaq, apparently, even though you barely saw Shaq do anything. Radical. Awesome. Do you want to talk about the other games going on and all the players involved in those and what they're doing? Nah, we're good. Well, fuck off then. How about also, instead of releasing just fucking more and more money-grab jerseys that no prick's going to buy because they're ugly as fuck and they're fucking completely redundant 1 year later, how about you just come up with, like, some fucking solid, awesome designs year in, year out, maybe a couple of different tweaks here and there, maybe you've got the one special city edition, whatever, away you go, but just have it on a spreadsheet. Have the main colors go, all right, well, we can't have these when we play these dudes. We've got 3 or 4 other fucking jerseys to choose from. This shouldn't be rocket surgery. Jeez, old mate could fucking bang up a spreadsheet about that in about 20 minutes. Fuck off. Oh, it annoys me. Like, you fucking, even yesterday, you're watching the Warriors and the Lakers, and you just got, you're like, ah, oh, this is just too much yellow. Can we just have the Lakers in purple? Like, it's all, you know? I'm starting to feel a little bit old man yelling at clouds about jerseys, but shit. Anyway, let's go to Outback Takehouse.
It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yes, West Sydney Razorback Ribs. We call them West Sydney Razorback Ribs because they're cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker, who's just out the back. He's my sous chef, my rib chef. Just cooking up these Razorback. Ah, it's just fucking ribs. Just eat them. Shut up. Only at Outback. Today's flame grill take is Dame Lillard is the MVP because no one has done more with less this year. Only at Outback.
To be honest, he's right there now, isn't he? Right there. But this is the exact thing of the MVP discussion. Embiid's probably a leader, goes out. LeBron's just going to be there constantly kicking ass, taking names. We're going to get to the end of the year and go, oh, LeBron was awesome all year. Like, if Dame just keeps this up through the entire season and, like, the Blazers end up like a 4-5 seed, holy shit, watch out. But if the Lakers just keep going and end up in the top three, then, yeah, it's LeBron's. Right, let's do Australian Player Watch and a whole bunch of other stuff right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, what did Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit, have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences, and they've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. That's right, because they're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach you new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. It's gnarly. The bloke from NASA, he teaches you lessons about his career in space. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. And Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, which is pretty cool. There's over 100 other experts as well waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download Knowable. That's the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. That's knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAY for an additional 20% off. It's sick. I love Knowable. Just getting smart every time I use it. It's pretty good. Anyway, now you can do it too. Right, Australian Player Watch. Big Simo, Ben Simmons in that win over the Knicks. 16 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, shot 8 of 14. And is now, how's this for a stat? He's 13 and zip lifetime against the Knicks. He's the king of New York. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that much, Jay. I'm walking here. Matty T, Matisse Thybulle had 3 points in that game as well. 1 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 3 from downtown. He did have 1 assist, 1 rebound, 1 steal, and 3 blocks because he is a fucking menace. Love it. Jingling Joe Ingles in that win over Boston. He was great as well. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 5 of 9 shooting, and 4 of 8 from downtown. That was awesome. It was great to see. Jingles really, really helped them stay afloat when Boston were threatening. And it was really cool to see. No Deli in the Cleveland game today. Still recuperating from his concussion and neck injury that he reckoned was going on. And Will the Thrill Magnate did not get out there for the Pels. So hopefully we'll get some patty and some bangers tomorrow. See how we go. Right, do you want to do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history? What do you reckon? Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy, that sounds great, man. Yeah, that sounds good.
Right, let's bloody well do it then.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
All right. Well, if you go back to 1997... Shane the Hammer Heel. That's right, friend of the program. Man who guessed it on our 500th episode of NBA Australia. Went out there and in true fashion of St. Paddy's Day, belted the fucking Celtics. he got 2 minutes against the Celtics, did the hammer. He went 1 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 of which were from downtown. So he finishes with 3 points and he had an assist in a win. That's right, Hammer got him over the line. They won by 18. but this is against a wildly fun, very strange Celtics team at the time, back in 1997. Because you might remember that it's like, what, Todd Day? Who else was in this? Like, Antoine Walker's there. You got Rick Fox, Brett Sasbo. Ah, the immortal David Wesley. Such a weird, weird time. Stacey King was on that team at that point, so was Elton Lister. But this is the Steph and KG Wolves that Hammer was on. And Shane Heel came in, played 2 minutes, went 1 of 3 and crushed it. It was awesome. How good is James Robinson in that game, though? He has 25 points, goes 5 of 8 from downtown. Jesus, what a world. Anyway, good job, Hammer. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. A great showdown, beating the Celtics on Paddy's Day. The Mark Brecky Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. We're going to do that because we had Stephen Adams versus Enos the Penis Cancer today. Now, there's two sweaty and extremely hairy blokes. It's like Godzilla versus King Kong, right? It's going hammer and tongs. But just like if Godzilla and King Kong were just also sweating a lot. Is that the new one? Yeah, like Godzilla King of the Monsters with the second one, right? We just watched that one recently. I don't know what the fuck happened. It's like one of those movies you can just put on and you're like, fine. But yeah, the new one. There you go. It's good. Adams versus Cantor. A lot of sweat, a lot of hair. Pretty gnarly. Good to see. I also love Stephen Adams' promo photo at the start. He's kind of snarling. It's fucking awesome. But come on, man. We're going to give this one. We're going to give up a Shane Hill shoot your shot today, don't we?
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord. I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill.
Shoot his shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light him up award. Because I'll tell you what. Bloody Dame Lillard. What a game. 50 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. But the 13 of 20... He had 50 points on 20 shots. We just talked about Hammer. That's exactly what Hammer would do in his Sydney Kings pomp. 13 of 20 from the floor, 6 of 13 from 3. That's exactly what he did against Minnesota the other day as well. So back-to-back games, he's gone 6 of 13 from downtown. That's amazing. But the 18 of 18 from the free throw line, it just really sticks out. You're like... That takes some fucking balls to go up, game on the line, step up, and just imagine you're 16 of 16, you're like, I need two more, and we win and nail them. Dame Lillard, 50 points, 10 assists, 50 points on 20 shots. Get the fuck out of here. That's amazing. 6 of 13. You are the Shane Hill shoot your shot, light him up award winner for today. Right. What about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? This was a good Instagram post from Bangers the other day. Good to be back. Just out there shooting around, hanging out. And I'm just excited to see more Bangers as we go into the second half of the season. What about you? You should be, because he's exciting. Right. Let's do some game previews.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. You excited about St. Patty's Day?
Yep, got a mate's birthday tonight. Going to take the squid over to the pub and get around it. Yeah, it should be good. So today's picks were 3 of 7. That means we're 360 of 645 for the year. What did we miss on? We missed on Philly. They didn't quite cover. There was a couple of cheeky points there at the end. We picked Cleveland. Oh, geez. But they're just in struggle town. Picked OKC as well. Again, OKC just like beset by injuries and... I also thought Boston would cover, but they did not. So, anyway, a couple of losses. What can you do? But tomorrow's games, there's a huge slate, and there's some absolute belters on here. So, Sacramento at Washington. I've got the Wiz -3. The Kings are just reeling. They lose bags. Washington have been extra punchy and extra kind of a little bit of chutzpah about them of late. They're at home. They're getting 3 points. I'll take that. They're giving 3 points, but I'll take Washington -3. I think Beal and Rusty up against Diaz of Fox and Buddy Hield. Should probably be fine. Rui Hachimura has been really good. So just something weird about Sacramento at the moment. I think Washington should win that one. Milwaukee, go to Philly. Philly stay at home. So 6.5 points for Milwaukee against a Philly team that just beat the Knicks, just held on. They don't have Embiid. I'm probably going to go with Milwaukee, right? Like 6.5. I think Milwaukee should probably have their measure pretty handily. Philly have won 6 on the trot. A couple of those, like they've been really good. But I think this comes to an end against Milwaukee at home tomorrow. Brooklyn at Indy, similar vibes. Brooklyn have won a bunch on the trot. Indy have been a bit up and down, but they've got sweet baby Carrots LeVert taking on his old team. They're at home. Indy are +3.5. I think Indy will win this one. I think they've just got enough sort of rangy, long guard dudes to throw at Kyrie and Harden. And it's going to be interesting to see if Brooklyn can sort of combat that, if they can, if they can't. I'll take Indy +3.5. I think El Presidente has a good one. So does Karras. The Souvlaki King and Souvlaki King, Demata Sabonis, and Miles Turner should eat as well against that Brooklyn front line. So I'll take Indy plus 3.5. Toronto! 2-point favorites in Detroit. Toronto should get a bunch of their dudes back, so that's a pretty no-brainer there. Because Toronto are good, and Detroit are bad. Detroit will probably be without Jeremiah Grant. Who knows? After he fell and hurt his hip the other day. If they're not, still going Toronto, minus 2. Boston, go to Cleveland. Oh, geez. 9-point favorites on a back-to-back for the Celtics. On St. Paddy's Day, they're going to fucking kill Cleveland. Give me Boston minus 9. Golden State plus 10. Look, Cleveland just don't have any... Like, they've got a Coro, but they're not going to be able to slow down Tatum and Brown and also keep tabs on Kemba. And probably, look, this will be Marcus Smart locking up probably Darius Rucker Garland or Sexman. So, yeah, Boston win that handily. Golden State plus 10 against... Oh, no, minus 10 against Houston. That would be, I assume. Yeah, it'd have to be minus 10. Because Houston are a rabble. Look, Golden State are a bit up and down, but I still think I might go Houston plus 10 here. I think Houston might cover because Golden State, unless Steph goes absolutely fucking ham, don't tend to really absolutely destroy and blow out teams. And yeah, Houston, they are a rabble, but 18 straight losses seems like a lot. They might still lose, but I think they'll keep it close. Give me Houston plus 10. Spurs at Chicago. Ooh, Chicago with that dyed river of theirs. I don't know. I like the Spurs in this one. The Spurs are getting 1 point, so I think I'll take that. I think the Spurs can handle Chicago. Chicago on a back-to-back. Spurs traveling around a little bit, but give me the Spurs plus 1. Miami at Memphis. It's an interesting one. Miami on a bit of a back-to-back here. They're playing really, really well, you know? So Miami go into Memphis. They're taking 2 points, so minus 2 for Miami. I think I'll take the minus 2 for Miami. With Kelly Olynyk and Bam. Oh, Bam probably won't play. Maybe Memphis plus 2. I don't know. Depends on if Dylan Brooks shows up. If Miami can keep rolling. Nah, Miami are better. Fuck it. Give me the Miami minus 2, even on the road. Yeah. Talk myself into that one. Good job. Let's go, Miami. Charlotte at Denver. Awesome, fun game. Denver should probably have all the answers for Charlotte. Charlotte have been really good. Denver is 6.5-point favorites in this. I think Denver can beat Charlotte, though, pretty handily. LaMelo and co. Look, I think Denver probably just have a few too many weapons for Charlotte to keep up with. So give me Denver minus 6.5. Clippers going to Dallas for another game. Dallas are 2.5-point underdogs at home against the Clippers. I'm going to take Dallas plus 2.5. I like Dallas here. I think Luka has a massive game. I think we see a bit of the Luka magic that we got in the bubble. So I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks plus 2.5. That'll be pretty fun. Nice one. Well, there you go. There's heaps of games. Jeez, there's some good ones tomorrow. Boston, Cleveland. That's funny. Brooklyn, Indy, Milwaukee, Philly. Oh, jeez. Miami, Memphis would be good too. But Clippers, Mavs. Sign me up. So there you go. There's all your picks and previews for tomorrow. Give that all a smash on playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. They're always the best. All right. We are back tomorrow to wrap all the action for you. That's what we do. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Give World Wrestling Australia a bit of a look. Adam from FWCI is always out there doing great work on World Wrestling Australia. It's on your old YouTubes. And this week, he's talking, you know, yeah, Nas, better than Baron Corbin. He's also talking about Captain Insano from the Waterboy movie, maybe coming to AWE, which is hilarious. Who knows what's going to happen there. And we've also got Toni Storm getting her NXT Women's title match. She's from the Goldies, so that's awesome. Go smash that. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop, buy some merch, buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, go on. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone, it does help out heaps, come on. TheDailyLiquor.com, go there, use the code STRAY, get a free six-pack. Go to knowable.fyi, get 20% off the awesome learning app, Knowable. Go to weare.co if you can have a raffle or a, you know, community fundraiser, you want to do a bit of crowdfunding for something. Boom. Weare.co are your mates. No fees, mate. It's the best. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're up and running. Time's out now. And also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozer for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Spotify, Apple Music, however you listen to tunes. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we're going to finish off with a brand new Rowdies Reco, Ryan Brockhoff. Giving you a bit of a life hack. Should be funny. I'm hoping it is. Well, and we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. Have a great St. Paddy's Day. I know I'm about to. You little ripper. Let's do it. Woo. Play the tunes. Get some Celtic punk up, yes. Woo. Love me some ramshackle army. If you're down in Geelong, go get shit-faced with them tonight. Either way, NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And lederhosen. Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff here, back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I lived and played in Dallas. Their approach to literally anything, snow, a pandemic, incest, electrical outages, people not having running water, is to literally do nothing. Like, just nothing. Nothing at all. So yeah, I've dealt with myself and my fair share of stress, hey. But this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really easy. If you're worried about getting back into the swing of things while there's still a global pandemic raging, just go home, grab some mates, and go play some basketball. For money. Because money's really good. Because I mean, that's it, I've just gotten home and decided to go play some hoops with my mates and I'm getting paid for it, so you should do the same. But if you're not professional, I mean, you should also make sure that you take your mates' cash while you're playing basketball against them. Just beat them silly, bet them $20, drop some threes on their head, take them for all they're worth. I mean, I'll tell you, embarrassing your mates and dropping threes on their heads really soothes the soul in a world that's full of worry. So that's it. Worried about the pandemic? Go shoot around. Not with guns like in Dallas, but with basketballs. And take your mates for all they're worth. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. And until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life. And namaste.